This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
All right, here's the intro.
All right.
The only podcast that still owes Joe Downer $5 for his appearance. This is Podcast Envy. And now here's Bacon, Tim, and Brian.
Podcast Envy. Hey, everybody. Episode number 222.
Who's, I thought that was last time.
Who says... No, oh,
I think we're 223.
You're right, Tim. Actually, you're right. It is 223.
When do we get to 269? All right.
That's it for me. I got the... You're right.
You're right.
There we go.
Oh, damn.
Save when do that. We get to 267?
Come on. What is the deal with that thing that kids are all about?
Oh, my God. And it means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing. Yeah. I thought when I first heard that, I was like, are they doing something with the 69 thing?
So is that the modern game? Like when you don't talk about the game and you lose the game, if you talk about the game, is that the modern game?
That's like Fight Club.
I know what you're talking about. Different game. I know what you're talking about, but I don't think this is that. It's just like whenever somebody uses the word 6-7.
Well, right.
Seven,
it's just like a bunch of chimpanzees. Like, oh. They go, tick, tick, tick.
And they like raise the roof or whatever with it or something. I don't know. Makes me sound old talking about it.
It could be anything.
Well, so the kids are all saying it and it's everywhere. And it was funny. The last baseball game I coached, the boys in the field, they weren't saying anything. Like, we're trying to teach them, like, hey, you know, how many outs?
Talk to each other.
Where are we going? Make sure everybody's lined up. And they're just standing there. So the inning's over. I call them over and I'm like, look, boys.
Did you say 6-7? And they were like,
no. Ooh. I said, boys, y'all aren't talking. You're not saying anything. At least give me like a 6-7 out there or something just to get you boys talking.
Look at you.
And they're like,
you
oh,
comedian.
Yeah, Coach Tim, 6-7. And I'm like, good. Next inning, go out there and talk. Like, stop standing out there. Like,
the ball goes to the outfield. Yeah. And they're like, 6-7, 6-7. You're like, no, catch the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Throw it back.
Hey, with this team, yes, they would do something like that. But Coach, you said... Yeah, I have no idea what it means, but both my kids, that's all they say. So to get them to stop, I say it.
Uh-huh, there you go.
And they're like, oh, this isn't cool anymore. Dad's saying it. Yep. So now I get the eye roll.
The reverse psychology.
Yeah. The article I read about it today said that one of the teachers, that's how the article actually closed, was the teacher saying the only way that we're going to get them to stop doing this is just say it ourselves.
For adults. Yeah.
Sure.
And then they'll come up with something else.
Yeah.
Get them
with
their own medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least they moved on from Skibbity Toilet, right?
That's right.
We got some listener feedback. Ooh, hear some listener feedback.
Let's do it.
Jamie?
No.
Dang. Marcus?
No.
He would have loved this banter.
You're right.
Yeah.
I think our banter has improved since his critique.
We started drinking earlier.
That's right.
There we go.
So, dear Podcast Envy, I really enjoyed your conversation with Rook. Mm. I didn't even know who he was before this, but now I've got his stuff queued up in my Spotify.
Nice.
I love the way you guys just hung out with him and it made it feel like less of an interview and more like just friends talking music. Keep it up. That's from Ken.
Sweet.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
Ken,
thanks for listening.
Appreciate you.
Love it.
And that's kind of, you know, we've learned a lot and we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary.
We are.
In November.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, I can't. I cannot.
Not.
That's a good quote.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
My wife.
But when we started interviewing, it was very like, we didn't exactly know kind of how that was going to go, who we were going to interview, what the process was going to be. Even if you look at our setup now or the videos, you know, that we had, I don't think we even had videos then. when we first started.
Not to start.
The first three we didn't, but then I think Maddie Davis was our first.
Yeah, he was.
He was our first guest.
Recorded.
Yeah.
Because we were sitting at the round table. But yeah, I don't, if we did do video, I think it was just like from one side or the other and it was like dark and not lit well.
I remember the first time we had lights, it was like, wow, this really made a huge difference.
I feel like we're actually in a studio.
Yeah.
Real podcast. What?
Look at us.
So it's evolved and it is, it's nice that we now kind of have this certain cadence, you know, with the people amongst ourselves, but also with the people that we interview. I think we do a good job. Everybody when they're done, they're like, man, do I have to go home?
Right.
You know, like,
they don't want to leave.
Let me know when you guys want me on again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, one of the first things that I was worried about when we started doing the interviews was, I hope we don't sit across the table from each other and just like, I don't have anything to say, you know?
Yeah.
But I learned that I think one of the most important parts of the interview is listening and like kind of developing dialogue based on what they're talking about, not just having a straight set of questions you have to get through, right. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think
this isn't NBC.
Yeah.
You know, we're just here to have a good time.
Yeah. So I think it's fun. It's good times.
I like it.
Yeah.
Second one, Dear Podcast Envy. Hey guys, the episode with Rook might be one of the most honest conversations you've ever had. Wow.
Wow. With us or the artist?
Were we lying before?
Apparently.
Yeah.
The way you guys talked about the grind of being an independent artist, writing on the road, and choosing passion over comfort, that really stuck with me. I also like how you brought up the difference between performing live versus performing in the studio, and Rook explaining how he has to feel the room and maybe look at live music in a new way.
Nice.
You guys mix jokes with real insight and balance, and that's why I keep listening. Thanks. I'm Pete.
Thanks, thank you, Pete.
Pete.
Yeah, fun fact, I was also commando that day. So like just talking about, you know, stripping things down and having an honest. Yeah. Anyway.
Jeez.
I like that our listeners are like very like thoughtful in their emails to us.
That's not like a 6767
right,
email.
They're actually saying shit.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Pete.
Really? Commando?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was just trying to be real.
Okay.
You know?
Because, you know, you're fake with underwear on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Hey, that's
just
it's an honest interview.
Let it all hang out. You didn't even notice, did you?
I wasn't looking.
You never pay attention to me.
I know. Did you get your hair cut again?
Awkward!
Hey, you got the board going.
Oh, we're going to do this again.
Look at this guy.
Look at this guy.
You know, so as we've been doing this podcast, some things have slowly been happening behind the scenes.
Okay.
So I'm sure people have noticed that their episodes, if they're listening to it on a podcast app, has commercials in it now. Because that's kind of like a monetization thing that we're doing.
Okay.
Trying to. We recently have come across a website called oldglory.com.
Okay.
And Old Glory offers 300,000 items for music, sports, entertainment, and pop culture. It has officially licensed merch from iconic brands and top sports teams. Discover your perfect fan gear and save with our exclusive discount code, Podcast Envy.
We have a discount code?
We have a discount code.
What? You're welcome, America.
Oh, that's awesome.
Podcast Envy.
That's so awesome.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So what, give me an idea, is this, is it all just merch stuff? Is it?
Yeah.
It's, you know, all, do it's, we have stuff on there yet?
We don't have stuff on there. I don't think we're big enough to have stuff on
there.
They're a family-owned business, a superstore. They have graphic tees, hoodies, hats, accessories, stickers, all that type of stuff. For, you know, artists such as Bob Marley, The Beatles, Grateful Dead, The Rolling Stones, Metallica, cool. Sports teams from the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, the MLB, NCAA.
Nice.
And so people get how much off by using podcasts?
15%.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some scratch. Old Glory. Key code Podcast Envy.
You get your stuff at oldglory.com.
Nice.
And once again, that's Podcast Envy for 15% off your order.
That's awesome. Really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Look at us.
Look at us.
We have a sponsor.
Brand partnership.
What about Timmy's Timberines? Do we still
have Timmy's Timberines?
I reached out to the CEO and I haven't been able to reach him.
he's probably on the road just selling whatever he can.
Yeah, I think it's Beverly. You got to reach out to
Beverly. An old man named Beverly.
Is it Mr. Beverly?
He's as confused
Beverly
as we
Media.
All are.
So we recently played a gig. We did the Bruce for the Brave again.
Oh, yeah.
What's it, the sixth time we've done that?
Yeah, it's probably close to that.
But this was the first time that you have done it, Bacon, right?
It's always been.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Either I think I've done it solo maybe once or twice, and then we've done it a couple times together.
Yeah, we've done it at least four times.
Yeah,
three or four times. I mean, it's, yeah.
But it is a regular thing. So it's a corporate event. Chenega Mios is the company, and they do a couple events throughout the year. Usually they do like a holiday gala that my wife and I, we DJ, and that's always fun. And then we do the Brews for the Brave. I want to say that we've done another event.
We did the one this summer.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, with the rainstorm. Yep. And yeah, that's at the Lorton Art. I always forget the... Yeah, Artworks.
Shop, workstation, something like that. Yeah.
The prison.
Check out our episode 221 with more information about that.
Yeah.
We talked about it in that episode.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're great to us. They always come back to us, and we always knock it out of the park. And so they raise money for Vigilant Torch, which obviously takes care of our veterans in a couple different ways. I actually remember, well, you guys may remember this too, the general, I don't know if he's retired. Maybe he is. But he went up and he was talking about just the healthcare costs associated with taking care of our veterans for the less obvious ailments and how much, you know, they can cost in the tens of thousands. I think he said $12,000 for one particular procedure. Yeah. Brews for the Brave.
Yeah.
Great event. Hopefully we keep doing it.
Yeah.
I love it. You know,
in the future.
Great. It was a great time.
Yeah. They're cool.
And I got to say, I at the end with that lady that came up to us, that was awesome.
That
to me, again, just kind of amplifies why we do what we do. So we started adding, you know, kind of changing up our end song, right? So we used to do Hold On, We're Going Home. And then we've kind of changed it up, doing a little Tom Petty or Country Roads. And so we finished with Country Roads and everybody loved it. People out on the dance floor singing along. This this woman came up to us at the end after we were done. We started packing up, and she said that she lost her son earlier this year. He went to West Virginia, and when we played that song, she felt like he was there in spirit. And she got a little emotional and asked if she could give us a hug.
Yeah.
And to me, like, to know that we had made her night and... You know, us, we're just up there playing music. Right. Yeah. But we're just up there playing music, just, you know, trying to provide, you know, entertainment and joy and that kind of stuff. To be able to touch people like that, just, it means the world. It's just so cool and just really just validates again why we do what we do. And we were on point, by the way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we sounded pretty good.
Gosh. Like, so many songs. Like, I'm looking at the both of you, like,
he didn't
Brian's
buck.
Holding my hand.
He didn't push back.
Yeah. I was looking back and I was
like, let go early.
I was like, okay. Damn, we are on point. Yeah. And Bacon even threw some curveballs at us.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, what do we want to do?
And Bare Bacon, Naked Ladies. Yeah.
What was the one?
Billie Eilish.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a bad guy. We haven't done that one in forever. We did a little Sixpence, None the Richer. Kiss Me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
There was a couple times where we did a little bit of improv before jumping into a song. I really like it when we do that.
Yeah.
Because when we land on that downbeat, it's just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. You've got some really creative little beats that you kind of throw in there. These little fillers that are fun. And then I just play random chords and see like if I can make a pattern out of it. And then you fill in the void. And then Tim's like, what the hell song is that? And I was like, I'm waiting for you to tell me what we're doing next.
Well, or you start playing a song and I'm like, oh, is that what we're doing? And you're like, no, I'm just playing stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Like, but you wreck me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a killer
so
song.
So killer.
I've done that song solo acoustic and I don't think it certainly does not deliver the same way without the drums.
Oh, yeah. The drums.
It needs it.
Unbelievable.
The dynamic of, you know, the two together, I think, really sells the song.
Yeah, this is my humble opinion, but I would even venture to say playing it exactly like the drummer plays it is important in that song because the way it drives it.
That and Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
This This is Podcast Envy.
What else is going on? Do you want to share your news or?
Ooh. My news?
Yeah.
What news do I have?
Mr. Front Man for a new band?
Or, yeah, I mean,
are we?
Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Wow. How do you guys know about that?
Oh my God. This guy texted me one morning early. So it was what I woke up to.
And? Oh, yeah, like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it was 11 o'clock, and I was just waking up. I'm like, oh, Brian texted me. Oh, he's in a band now.
Okay. It's a long text. I hope he's okay.
I know, right? Like, I ain't reading all that. Sorry about that.
TLDR. Or
I
hope it's all good. Yeah.
All right, we got some breaking news?
Oh, yeah, we have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
That guy sounds so good saying breaking news.
I know.
He is. He should get a
AI
raise,
is awesome. He is.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, that's me, man. Fuck off.
Well, I'm going to give you the short story.
We'd prefer
short.
That.
Yeah, thank God.
In addition to Radio Envy and Bacon and I playing as a duo, I will be joining a band that has been around for probably 6 or 7 years now.
Six, seven.
And he got it.
He did.
And it's already a 4-piece band, drummer, bass, 2 guitarists, and they already kind of have a lead singer, but they're looking for a regular lead singer. The band is called Tunnel's End. So check them out. They are incredible. I'll be joining them in the new year. 2026 right now is wide open. So we could be doing stuff all up and down the East Coast. We could be doing stuff in the Bahamas. A little inside knowledge. One of the guys in the band, the original member of the band, he's got connections to get us into some really exciting places. Nice. And there are places where I book, that we're trying to kind of put the two together. So okay. We might have a corporate event that will play our first gig to kind of, become more comfortable with one another on stage in December. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think like we'll have a big public performance, and it's not announced yet. So,
so you heard it here first.
We're going to build up for you. Yeah. This is breaking news.
All right.
Yeah. And we're going to enlist the, guidance and support of, Bacon Wave Productions.
Yes.
To do some, video editing for sure. Maybe some, filming. Yeah. We'll kind of work out the details, but yeah, we'd love to work with you on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I've got some ideas for filming too, so I'm happy to support in any way that Bacon Wave Productions can do so.
Nice.
I dig it. Yeah, really pumped.
I was going to say what kind of music. Yeah, what kind of music are you covering? Is it going to be mostly rock, some hip-hop? Not hip-hop, but like R&B?
It's mostly, I'd say probably 90s rock, pop rock. There's some more modern stuff in there too. I think one of the bigger things that they're trying to focus on that I'm also very interested in exploring further is more of the mashups. Like we've touched on that as a band, there are maybe 2 or 3 mashups that we've done.
Yeah.
And that's how you keep your audience on the dance floor. At least, if you're a cover band and you're trying to do that kind of thing. So I think that's the momentum that we're trying to drive. And we all seem to have like the same desires. Yeah. So again, it just kind of makes sense. Yeah. Like 90s alternative rock, like just good, like, I don't know, songs that people remember, emo stuff, and then more modern stuff.
Nice. There is something to be said about a band that does a good job transitioning from one song to another, especially if they do it in a really creative way. That makes the show when I see like little tricks like that. I think that's cool stuff.
Yeah. It surprised me without knowing everybody's personalities from the outside, but now it's not so surprising to know that the guy that has been kind of assisting with those mashups and the set list and kind of guiding the band, he's a younger guy. I think he's 28, 29 years old. He's a chemistry teacher.
Nice.
Wow.
And I'm like, of course.
He'll come up with the
formula. Of course. He's like, this is what it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So anyway, he's a
mad trip. Professor.
He's a lot of fun. Yeah.
So did you have to audition or try out?
I did. Yeah.
And so what did you do?
Matty D and his late wife, Kara, they ran an acoustic showcase out of the Renegade in Arlington. And that's when they had like Huntley.
Oh, I remember that.
Mike Huntley.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was on The Voice. He won The Voice last year. And they had a bunch of artists through there. Justina Bethel, Joe Downer.
That's right.
Who we still owe him $5. Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, between the three of us, we're still $2 short.
But, yeah, well,
he'll get over it.
There were a bunch of phenomenal artists that went through there, mostly, you know, local folks. Okay. And one of the artists was Jordan Frank. And I met him there, but yeah, I guess just because I hadn't met him before, you know, there was a lot going on during that time. That it just, for whatever reason, didn't stick in my mind. Fast forward to earlier this year, I think, he was either recommended to me by somebody, or I think I stumbled across his Instagram playing somewhere, and I saw a video that he posted, and I reached out to him kind of mm-hmm. thing. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but that's okay. Usually how it goes.
Sure.
And so I hit him up, and I booked him for a gig at this place in Arlington called Hyde Social. We've been doing a music series there this year since June on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday night, they do half price bottle of wine, and they also have live music from 6 to 9. And I just sat there and was just really vibing with his whole set list. Mm-hmm. And so we hung out, and a couple other friends showed up. And so we hung out till the end. And I got a chance to chat with him, and he said that he was in a band. I was like, oh, what's the band? Tunnel's End. And then he said, you know, our drummer is running sound for Renegade next door. Cool. We're also looking for a lead singer. And he didn't ask me, you know, would you be interested?
Sure.
I just said, well, what's your set list look like?
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued. I'm like, we based off of what I just watched him play, like I could sing probably half the songs that he did.
Yeah.
So we had this conversation. I went over to Renegade that night, and, you know, me, Jordan, and Dan, the drummer, who's the original member of the band, you know, we were just talking, and again, just kind of sparks flying, just good conversation, talking about what we're looking for, what we want to do, what we have time for. And it just, you know, all those things just started to add up, and then it got more serious. And I was like, well, yeah, let me know when you guys are doing a rehearsal and I'll pop in and we'll do an audition. So,
nice.
Yeah. So that's how it
cool.
worked out.
Very cool.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, keep our audience posted.
Yeah.
Oh, I will.
Yes.
Appreciate you guys' interest.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm We're pretty buddies. Excited myself.
We like to know the things that are going on in your life.
Yeah. It's the local or music else. Scene, bruh.
Yeah, man. That's what we do. Podcast Envy. That's hey, right. You know, speaking of local music scene, I know we do mostly local music scene stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it was in August, I went to my sister's house, and my nephew, he is a gigging musician down in Florida.
Yeah. He's amazing.
He is great.
Mm-hmm. And he's got the long hair and yeah. everything. Yeah.
He's like got... You. Like really me.
Well, better. He has better long hair.
Okay, he's got a good voice. He's one of the loopers. He does a looping thing.
Yeah,
a lot of times,
like Ed Sheeran.
Yeah,
nice.
No, and
not like it. He's better.
Yeah, so like Matty D.
He did.
Man, you really put me in a corner there.
He did. I wish I could remember both the songs, but he did a mashup that was just really.
So is that a mashup or a medley?
That's a mashup.
Okay,
a medley is when you're singing two songs by the same artist.
Okay.
A mashup is when you sing two different songs from two different artists.
Got it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Got it. Now it took me a second. I had to hear it in my head.
But yeah, I'm going to get Zachary on the show. We're going to do a remote interview with
what?
Him. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
what? Podcast Envy doesn't have new sponsorship money to fly him up here or what?
No, but we do have new sponsorship money to do a remote. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
And I'll bring the nachos.
Yeah. That's more like awkward.
Right? That's some inside baseball right there. We got some music news to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, we have music
some more than local music news.
Yeah.
Some outside the local scene.
Expand
music.
The circle.
So did you guys hear about Dolly Parton? This week.
Yes.
Is she okay?
She's so fine.
Her sister came out and said, we need to keep her in our prayers and this, that, and the other. And
it was this very dramatic sounding post.
So Lindsay loves Dolly. So I told her, I said, hey, her sister just posted something a little cryptically.
Yeah.
I hope she's okay.
Now, do we know how old she is?
She's 70s? Mid 70s?
I think she might be older than that.
No.
Can I ask a question before we get too far into this?
She's mid 70s.
Vague tweet.
74.
Okay, I'm just going to get into it.
No, wait.
79.
Oh, I was...
I don't think is... I don't think at Dolly's age, no offense to Dolly, love you, love the music, I don't think it's worth it for her to freeze herself.
Right.
Because number one, do we even really have the technology to do it correctly right now?
Hold on, is this breaking news? Are we breaking the news that...
Breaking news.
Dolly Parton's sister said she's considering being cryogenically frozen.
And Bacon loves Dolly.
Well, she was forced to come out and make a video basically saying, I'm not dead yet.
Didn't they do this with Jackie Chan?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Didn't they say, like, Jackie Chan, like, something happened to him, and then he had to come out publicly on social media and be like, hey, guys, I'm okay.
Yeah. I'm right here.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
She said, there are a lot of rumors flying around, but I figured you have to hear it from me. Mm. You know that I'm...
Was the Sosa logo going around the screen?
You mean the Sora logo?
Is it Sora?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
I didn't pay close enough attention to that.
Tomato, tomato.
I'm going to try that again. She said, there are a lot of rumors flying around, but I figured if you heard it from me, you'd know that I was okay. She's 79 years old. She said in the new 2-minute video that she posted on Instagram, I'm not ready to die yet. I don't think God is through with me, and I ain't done working.
Nine to five.
Yeah.
Was the Sora logo floating around the screen, and then did she like body slam a grizzly bear or something?
I didn't see a Sora logo.
No.
But, yeah, here you can take them off.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah. So the whole ruckus started.
You got to have Dolly Parton money to take it off.
Exactly.
Is she upset because she's not getting something out of
I doubt it.
The Dolly, family situation.
Dolly doesn't strike me as that kind of person.
Nah, but you know, people can be petty.
You know, I sometimes wonder what it's like to be the sibling of a superstar.
Or that just a friend or anyone close to. Right? Because
next time we have my brother on, we can ask him.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, oh, Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's an open invitation, Chris. One thing I've noticed is when people have a lot of money, the people around them don't really seem to tell them no very often.
Mm.
And there's also the people that come around and try to take your money, like literally try to take your money.
True.
Like even more than we have, like, hey, this is Joe Schmo from, we're doing roofing in your neighborhood. Yeah, it's like how many different ways, they probably have a bazillion unread messages.
That's a lot.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you're a celebrity and somebody has your real phone number, like do you at that point just not have a phone and like you got to talk to, you know, Cindy.
That's what Ed Sheeran does.
Yeah. To be able to actually connect with me, even your closest friends or family. And it's like, man, you got to have like a secret cell phone,
right.
But then your phone number gets out and it all just starts all over again.
Yeah. I mean, Ed Sheeran doesn't have a phone. So like he found out that Taylor Swift got engaged on the internet because she couldn't call him because he doesn't have a phone.
That's right.
And they're like best friends or whatever.
They are. He might sing at her wedding.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something?
Speaking of Taylor, she just came out with another album.
She came out with one album, but she came out with like 17 different versions of the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know?
What? Visually or?
No, like 4 million in sales.
Million in sales. So she did a different,
ridiculous,
a bunch of different versions of the thing.
Is that good?
No, I think that's fucking stupid.
Ooh.
In a terrible way.
Ooh, tell us why, Bacon.
Like, she's already a fucking billionaire, right?
Mm.
So she doesn't, it's not like we're supporting our artist because we want her to continue going forward. She has no issues with going forward and continuing to make music.
Sure.
Like, it's not, so the support doesn't need to be there in that regard. And especially when times are kind of starting to get a little bit tougher economically for some people, and for some people it's been tough economically, period. Mm. Coming out with a bunch of different versions of the same album is really shitty because the true fans that really want to own the things that she does and have them on their own, they have to spend a gazillion. Like, how much is that? Probably like $200 if they're lucky, if they get every single version just because they want to have it.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
So I think that's just a really shitty thing to do as an artist. Like, come up with one version, and then when you tour, you can do it however the fuck you want.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I just think that's taking advantage of people.
I hear you.
Do you think it's her or the record label?
I think it's her.
Okay.
Because she's very clever and very...
He needs to point the finger.
Very creative.
At a single
And so, she does these things where she like hides hints and stuff inside lyrics. Yeah. And you know, so she's creative in that way, which is, you know, cool if you're 13,
she's
I guess.
Been, but, yeah. Well, 87 and 13 is 100, so she's keeping 100. Yeah, I get it.
Six, seven.
I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
No, you did. Okay. You did a little bit.
Yeah.
But I, just hearing some of the songs, they sound like other songs.
You want to go this way? Oh, I'm so on board for this.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys have heard any of the singles from her new album. Have you?
I can't say that I listen to popular songs anymore.
Okay.
Grandpa.
Listen here. I listen to what I want to
listen
to.
I do listen to songs that are popular.
Yeah. But they're on a reel.
Not the current.
Well, I'm driving.
Pop song.
I'll send it. Yeah, it's just interesting.
I'm too busy working to be driving and listening to other people's music.
Okay.
So,
right.
Here's a song. It's called Actually Romantic. So if you just tell me if you think the intro sounds like a song,
Okay.
Yeah. Pixies.
All right. Give us another one.
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah. There's one that sounds like the Jonas Brothers. Cool. By the Jonas Brothers.
Cool. This features Sabrina Carpenter as well.
Oh, so she's in on it?
Yeah.
Of course she is.
I'm feeling so cool. Top to the top.
Her name was Kitty. Then with the autograph hounds barking her name, then glowing like the end of a cigarette. Wow, she came out. I said, you live in my dream.
I'm feeling so cool. She said to me, top to the bottom, just cool.
Thank you for the love.
Oh my God. You're sweeter than a That's worse than I thought it was.
Yeah.
No.
So,
I
really?
Yeah. I mean, I get it for like 2 seconds, but then it changes. Right here, it changes.
So yeah, so what she does, so in the Jonas Brothers, I'm feeling so cool, top to the bottom, just cool. Every little thing that I do, it keeps going up. She goes da 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 da. Da, 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 da.
I'm feeling so cool. Top to the bottom.
See, they go up. Listen.
Every little thing that I do.
See, she goes down.
I'm feeling so cool.
This is a jam, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's not the same song to me. But I understand. I understand.
It's derivative.
How so Charlie Puth put together a reel where he went through, multiple songs that sound very similar to one another.
Sure.
In a difference of what, 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
And it's just part of life. Like there are only so many chord combinations that you can go through to create an impact to your listeners to make them want to listen to the song.
I'm pretty sure that was Ed Sheeran's argument.
And that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
He went to court for it.
And I don't hate that. Right. Because look, there's only so many chords. There's only so many chord progressions. And I'm not hating on her album for that. I just think it's interesting that it seems like a lot of the songs on the album sound like other songs, which makes me wonder, have we lost the creativity?
She's writing pop songs.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So how many different ways, how many albums can you come out that sound different from one another that are in the same genre, that are in the same space? Now, I'm not saying this because I am in love with Taylor Swift or her music or anything. I'm just having an open conversation with you guys, like trying to wrap my head around it. Like how many different ways can you write the same material, right? And appeal to the same people. Mm-hmm. So you brought it up, she's a billionaire.
Sure.
It's a business.
See, I think this is something that you and I disagree with on like a really base level. Like you have brought this up several times in conversations about artists and critiquing them, where you're like it's business. Yes, there are people in that artist's life who do it for the business side of it, of course. However, as an artist, there needs to be some kind of like acknowledgement that this is art and not a business, because that's really at the base of it. That's what it's supposed to be. Is art.
I'm not comparing Taylor Swift to us.
I think so.
And I wasn't suggesting you were. And I wasn't suggesting you take a...
Taylor Swift to Taylor Swift.
I'm not saying you're taking that kind of comparison between us and Taylor. I'm just saying, in general, whenever we talk about artists and doing something that we're kind of like iffy about, you're like, well, it's a business, so fuck it.
So
my rebuttal to that is that it's art, actually. But it's also creativity, too.
Okay.
If you don't have material, like, I don't know. I think I'd be really hard on myself if I came up with a song that sounded so much like the Jackson 5 that it was like, Danny, all you needed was the friggin' bass line. And I would, that's kind of too close to this other song. I don't know if I feel comfortable with that.
My song goes dun 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 dun.
So here's my theory. Here's my theory. Okay. So the thing that drives us as musicians, our experiences, our desire to do more, our desire to explore and become better at something, right? Mm. And then you do that. And you may do it for a year, you may do it for 10 years. True. But somebody then recognizes your drive and your potential. And it's usually a business that recognizes your potential and says, I could capitalize off of this. I already have the connections. I could fast track you into a 10 record deal or a 5 record deal or whatever it is. And so they pick you up. And now all of the things that you struggled early on in your career, that you had all these things to write about, these experiences, you know, just like tweaking stuff to the point where it became this perfect song or album or sound that you have, that then became what people recognized you for. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you don't necessarily have those troubles anymore financially, but also you don't have the fucking time because you're touring all over the goddamn country, you know, 10 months out of the year.
And if you have a private jet, it's a lot easier.
Taylor would know. See, and now we're talking shit about Taylor.
I didn't talk shit. I just said, if you're in a private jet, it's a lot easier. Like, but, I want to give you, there's a song by Taylor. I'm not trying to shit
we'll
on Taylor
Swift.
Come
back to me, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought you made your point already.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Oh, wow. Had I? Do you guys get it though?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
So my point truly is like an artist, a great artist that we'll look back on and be like, wow, that was fucking amazing. We have maybe one or two albums. Like we may have written 1,000 songs, but only so many can you put on one album to capture an audience's attention.
Right.
And then how many more times do you do that over? And then when you don't have time to write anymore, or you're not having the same experiences anymore to be able to write those things, then what do you do? Do you invite ghostwriters? Do you continue to do like the corporate thing? Yeah, go ahead.
You don't write until you have time because you have 14 other number one albums and you're already worth $2 billion.
But how do you have time if you're being asked to do a TV show?
You can
if
say
you're,
no.
Of course you can say no, but who says no in the industry? Because what'll
Taylor
happen...
Taylor Swift can say no to whomever she wants.
But here's the deal. You say
no, but then you don't get asked back.
They move Taylor on Swift, to the next thing.
Right.
I disagree. Taylor Swift is that kind of person.
She's not that kind of person anymore because she could run for a fucking president and she would get elected.
Maybe.
But it takes a village. The people that...
We're raising kids now.
There are people...
She's pregnant.
...that we don't even know exist.
Are we breaking more
...that
news?
Run the music industry. God damn it!
Breaking news.
I'm sorry, that was too good. I could not do that. Come on. Oh, man, you guys are mad so when fun. I push the buttons and mad if I don't.
I'm not mad. Now, I love it.
I'm glad that he found the buttons.
He's clearly pushing your buttons.
I could go on for an hour.
Well, okay. I'm just saying, like,
we know.
Compare those. I mean, I know we only played like short clips of those songs, but there's a song that she does called Gorgeous that I think is such a great song. And I don't think it comes out of a place of misery. I think what you were talking about was like,
is this what you wake up to?
When
my alarm is 7:15, 7:30, 7:45.
6:07. No. Sunset
and vine. You ruin my life. Speaking of albums and music, did we see that Neil Young has now pulled his music from Amazon?
Yeah. Now that's not the first place he's pulled his music from.
That's right.
He pulled it from Spotify too.
He did. So this time he's pushing people to buy from like.
How old is he first?
Look it up. We'll do an over under. Who's older, Neil Young or Dolly Parton?
God, I think they're the same age.
I'm going to say Neil Young is older than Dolly Parton.
I think I'm going to agree with that.
I'll put him at 81.
They're the same age.
Yeah!
Wow. Sorry, Timbo.
Yeah, it's okay.
She just don't have a heart of gold, I guess.
Well, that's okay. When's his birthday? When's her birthday? Come on.
His is November 12th.
Splitting hairs. When's Tim's birthday? When's Brian's birthday?
Yeah. And didn't they graduate the same January year? January 19th, so she's technically older.
She's older.
Okay. Wow. Anyway. I'm so glad we got that sorted out.
So he wants you to buy local and not through Amazon. So the streaming...
But is he putting anything out?
No. So he doesn't want it's you to probably, go to big corporations. He wants you to go to your local music store to get his stuff.
Yeah, I'd like him to come to my town and find a local music store.
But, yeah, sure. Right. But also, yeah. Do we, is he, should he really be the spokesperson for us to buy local?
No. No.
I feel like we could be doing this at a higher or grander scale if that was really the intention. I understand the drive from Neil Young, but... Mm-hmm. Maybe instead of him just getting on his high horse again. Yeah. Just like maybe get a team.
It was a crazy horse, not a high horse.
that was better. I should have thought of that.
That was good, Bacon. Attaboy.
But maybe get a team, you know?
Yeah.
And after all, at the end of the day, it's a business. So.
Right. Right.
That, Taylor, is the truth. The margins are better.
That's right.
Yep.
Did you see Billie Eilish got assaulted at her Miami concert?
I was wondering where the fuck you were.
No,
I didn't even know.
Why would you do that?
Miami.
And why were you dressed in the green man suit?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a wacky, wavy inflatable. So she finished a song. They're kind of in the middle of song. She goes out, walks in the front, is waving.
Where is this?
Giving high fives. Miami.
What was it? A big venue?
Yeah, it was a big venue. Yeah, she came down off the stairs.
Oh, so it's like, during the concert.
During the concert, and walks down and is giving high fives to her front row fans and stuff. Okay. With that, a guy grabs her and pulls her.
That is some fucked up shit right there.
Obviously on camera, like, you know, and people around them are noticing what's going on.
It's just very bizarre. Like, I still, and we've talked about this on the podcast.
Is this like streakers people, running out on the field? Like somebody just wants to be dramatic?
I think this is a little bit more extreme.
Yeah. And
okay.
We talked about this before. Like, I don't understand why people feel the need. Like, if you're going to enjoy like a local event, a music event, or a big time music event, just go enjoy the music. You don't have to get involved. You don't have to touch the artist. You don't have to do any of that. Like,
you don't have to touch Timmy's timberings. Yeah.
Oh.
You
know.
Like, that's scary. Like, because she's not walking with, I mean, bouncers were there. Security guards were there. But she wasn't, like, walking with someone. Like, he freaking grabbed her.
Yeah.
It was very bizarre.
Do you think that incidents like that happen more often than we know about, or do we only hear about it when it's like high profile?
Oh, it definitely happens.
Happens a lot.
Yeah. People don't have boundaries.
So I just don't get it.
Well,
why?
But then do we think that there's a certain tolerance for those things to happen? Or do you think that
there shouldn't be if there is?
I know, but do you think so? And not to get, I don't want to get political, but I want to just recognize history. Do you think that things like this being televised or, you know, making mainstream media headlines could potentially put us in the situation where suddenly there's like a 12-foot glass wall around the stage in stadiums where, you know, artists can no longer feel safe getting out to their audiences, you know.
I could see that.
They never take the full recommendations of their security team, because if they did, they would be in a shell in the middle of the stage that nobody could touch.
In the Pope movie.
So, yeah. So they have to come up with some kind of a
tolerance. Agreed upon
tolerance for risk, right?
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't think generally they expect somebody to grab her the way that she was grabbed, but they are ready for
it. But also, hold on, to ask the question of where was security? Because typically when an artist steps off the stage,
there should have been more
security. There's some like
there should have been more.
7 foot tall dude that's right there that when something happens, like if the artist, you know, accidentally gets the microphone smacked out of their hand, or, you know, somebody's cell phone gets too close to the artist, or like, you know, there's somebody there to kind of manage those, you know, I don't know.
Situations.
Whatever, situations.
Sure.
I think the worst thing about social media is how everybody feels like they need to talk about everything.
Yeah.
And like I'm more of a lurker than a poster because I don't always feel like I have something interesting to say. You know what I mean? Like, who cares what I have to say? But there are people out there like, I have things to say. Well, that's a huge difference. This is a specific genre of podcast.
Right. Pre-podcast bacon. Go ahead.
Now I feel kind of like an ass right now. I don't know if I should say what I was going to say.
That's okay. We can cut it.
I'm going to keep this in just so everybody can see me being an ass.
Say it.
Oh, that's okay.
Say it. Hey, I get called it all the time. It's fine.
People are, it's because you are an ass.
Got it.
And maybe I am. Maybe I am a product of the environment, but I feel like people feel like everybody has to have an opinion on everything and they have to put it out there, when in reality, you can just shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? And
so
this guy wanted to make it all about himself. So he did what he did because he wasn't considering the repercussions because like he had to do the thing.
He probably knew what was going to happen, but he did it anyway because he wanted the recognition.
Yeah.
Hold on. Right. He's on a roll. Go ahead.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. That's all I had to say. I was done.
Yep. I know. I think, again, I keep bringing up streakers and you guys keep ignoring it.
Because they're not allowed on TV during sports games.
but people do that not for the artist or for the athlete. They do it for themselves because they want to say, hey, look what I did. And so I think in this very, similar instance, that the guy or whoever it was, just wanted to be that person. Oh my God. Oh, you went to jail for how long? For, a week, and I paid, I had to do community service and I got to touch Billie Eilish's boobs, what are we talking about? I have no idea. Who cares? But that's what that person felt like gave them some sort of name recognition.
Yeah.
Stay locked in. We'll be right back with more Podcast Envy.
So one other thing that happened today, and this seems to keep happening on days of record. We have people that are really famous die and we have to talk about it on the day that happens.
Awful.
D'Angelo passed away today from pancreatic cancer.
Awful.
51.
His real name was Michael D'Angelo Archer. He was a Grammy-winning artist, and he had a prolonged and courageous battle with pancreatic cancer. He gained widespread fame for songs like Brown Sugar, Lady, and Untitled, which is How Does It Feel? So here's
Pretty Wings.
Pretty Wings.
Yeah.
A lot of people online were like, wow,
we hadn't
the Voodoo heard album is like the best album he's ever done.
Well, he was a 90s artist, right?
Yeah.
Or was most popular in the 90s.
Right.
But unforgettable, right? It's kind of like Prince to me, anyway. Mm-hmm. Just an art, like,
Just sad.
How does it feel?
Amazing voice.
Yeah.
He essentially ran R&B back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Well, I was going to say this, he was one of those artists that you could just press play.
Yeah.
And just go along for the ride.
Yeah.
You just kind of accepted the fact that his music was going to take you to this place. You just close your eyes, lean back in the beanbag chair, and just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Turn up.
All right, so Brian, let's hop on to your game.
Brian's got a game for us.
Speaking of hard things.
Yeah, speaking of.
All right, you guys, seriously, good luck.
Okay.
I did not go easy on you.
All right.
I gave you a couple in the beginning.
Just it how
does
I like it.
It does go from recognizable
to
less recognizable.
Okay. What is the game?
Yeah.
So the game is I have come up with 10 unique music instruments. Okay. And for those that watch us on YouTube, I'm going to show a picture.
Okay.
And for those that only listen to us on podcasts on, Apple Podcasts or whatever, just
the password
audio
is
only. I'm going to play audio of what the instrument sounds like.
Okay.
Okay.
And then you guys are going to tell me what the name of the instrument is, the correct name.
Okay.
And you get a point.
Harmonica. Can you send me those pictures?
I was going to put them on the camera. I have them saved in my phone. I was going to put them in front of it. But I can also send them to you so that later on when you do the editing, makes sense, right?
Whatever works.
But we'll do just for continuity.
Yeah.
Just continuity. So you know which one's which.
Yeah. Yep. Let's do it.
All right. So the first one is this?
Harmonica. Oh.
All right. Now I'm going
to
play
this. You know the name of this thing?
Yep. You have to know the name.
Ricola.
I'm going to play the sound.
It's not a didgeridoo, is it?
It is a didgeridoo. Yeah. 1 point for bacon. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Let me keep a score here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just, good job.
Hey, you win.
Well done.
No, he's good.
That's good. I don't know if you guys remember this. Funny enough, we forgot. The guy that we owe $5 to, Joe Downer.
Joey yeah. D. Hey, so, when are you coming back on the podcast, Joe Downer?
Oh my God, shut up. So... for April Fool's, like 3 years ago, he said, hey guys, on social media, he's like, I've given up my life as a, you know, whatever he was doing at the time.
Zamboni driver.
I'm going to commit myself. Yeah, probably to being a didgeridoo artist. And then he like made a fake album cover, whatever. Anyway, it was funny. He did well.
Oh, yeah. Well done, Joe.
So good job.
Thanks,
Bacon.
Buddy. Hey man.
Didgeridoo. Can you spell it for extra points?
I didgeridid it.
Can you spell it for extra points? Without looking it up,
I would assume it's D-I-J-I-R-I-D-O.
Close. D-I-D-G.
Ah, D-G.
Yeah,
they did the D-G thing.
Eeridoo. All right. The next one is this.
I was half expecting the Titanic theme music.
Well, this song actually happens to coincide with a video game, this is the hint, that made it extremely popular.
Is it pan flute?
It is a type of flute. It was a video game on the Nintendo 64.
Mario?
Mm-mm.
Zelda.
You're on the right track.
It's a skin flute.
Fucking streakers, man. That's all they think about.
You got me. If you say it, I'll probably be like, God damn it. But
I know. Timmy?
I have no idea.
So the instrument is called an ocarina.
Is it the ocarina?
You're too quick for me. That was good.
You win.
Yeah. For that, do we just give him a point?
I'll take it.
All right. What's next?
So it was Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time.
Name of the video game.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
I had a Sega. So,
dang.
So this next one, Bacon, perhaps you might know. It is very similar to an instrument that you play, or at least the way in which you play it.
Oh, man.
It has a very unique name. But the second word of the name is
drum.
The instrument that you play. Yep.
Oh, man. I can't think of the name of it.
Here, this is what it sounds like. This motherfucker.
That's a bell drum.
That's a good guess.
That is a good guess. I have no idea.
Can drum.
I would say hand drum.
So the way in which the cuts are of the parts that
the
you
groove
hit
drum.
On the drum, it's called a tongue.
Tongue, yes.
A tongue drum.
The tip of my tongue.
So it's similar to the hand pan in the way in which they play it. Yeah. So it's called a tongue drum.
Damn, that's so close.
I have a tongue drum too, ladies.
I am single and ready to mingle. Bacon's ready to beat it like a tongue drum. Like only a tongue drum knows.
Oh my God.
What's that Pokemon? What's that Pokemon?
Squirtle?
Oh,
that's the one we get you together with.
God, oh my God. Can we please like set up a dating profile with just that clip? That is perfect.
What's
that's
that band?
One of the funniest things.
What's that band? Five Finger Death Punch. Bacon's band would be like Tongue Drum.
Five Tongue Drum Tongue. Five
Tongue Drum. Where's my Squirtle?
Oh my God.
I won't stop. I won't stop. Till I get enough.
Well done, Bacon. Another point. You win again.
Man, that's 3 points. All right. Yeah, you're just... One of which is official.
2.5. All right. Here's the next one. This one you guys should know. I feel like it's probably
Theremin.
Wow, out the gate. Killed it.
Well done.
Good job.
I want a theremin so bad.
So for those that don't know, it's an instrument that has two antennas, and between and outside of the antennas, you wave your hands around. So you don't physically touch the instrument, but the energy from your body and the proximity of your appendages to depending on what you're using, Bacon.
Oh yeah.
Tongue drum.
it creates in certain circles.
It creates sound waves that through the device, you know, have different. All right. So depending on how you do it, this is kind of a crude example.
6-7.
Oh my God. Maybe
this game is the best game ever.
Maybe that's the kids. The kids are like 6-7. Yeah. All right. The next instrument is this one, which is probably one of the cooler instruments that I've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's not electric. You don't have to plug it into anything. It does require some skill. It's almost like a piano,
yeah,
right? But it's also almost like a guitar because mm-hmm. it has that hollow body.
And you have to kind of strum it.
And it's a wood. Yeah, it's a wood instrument with the metal keys.
What?
It's also kind of like a xylophone. Yeah. It has a very unique and specific name to it. I'm going to play for you a beautiful little song. Tim, I'm so glad you're relaxed.
I can't help falling in love with you.
We're going to count backwards from 10, and you're going to wake up. 9, 8, 7, 6, 7.
It sounds like a music box, so I'm just going to call it a music box.
Well, its nickname is the thumb piano. But it has a very specific name. It's an African musical instrument consisting of a series of metal strips mounted on a wooden board. Mm-hmm. Nothing? Nobody? It's called a kalimba.
Kalimba. Mm.
K-L-I-M-B-A.
Dang. So close.
All right. This next one's kind of going to throw you for a loop because it's an image of two things in the same space.
Nice.
The image on the right, well, I guess, I don't know. Doesn't matter. In the image, there's a person. It's hard to tell it's a person.
Okay.
But the other image is actually the instrument. So this is the instrument and the person standing next to it.
Is that electricity?
Yes, it is. I'll give you a hint out the gate. It is a Tesla coil.
Okay. I'm going to call it a Tesla coil music box.
It looks like a box to you.
Circle. Sphere. All right.
I'm going to play
it's a Tesla drum.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, it's called an electric slide. Boogie, woogie, woogie.
You can find it on Electric Avenue.
I told you it was getting harder as we go along.
That's a very unique sound.
But also extremely, like, acute.
Yeah.
Right?
Cute indeed.
Like he's hitting.
It's adorable.
Here, I'm going to show you guys what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to show you what it is. Here.
It's like one of those things you put your hand on and like the electro thing, electro whatever.
So in this very specific application, you have to wear one of those metal suits like the guy standing next to it in the picture.
Yeah,
like
Bill Nye.
So that your body is grounded.
Yeah.
And you're not electrocuted.
That's crazy, man.
Any guesses?
Electrophone.
You're not bad with that guess. Tim, anything?
No.
It's called a Zeusophone.
Zeus would say? Be proud.
Would you say
electrophone? Yeah.
Yeah. It's close.
It's really close.
Half a point. This is a good game. I like this game.
It's fun, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we'll put the list up and we'll put the pictures and the videos or the audio up. Mm-hmm. But this, like, blew my mind. I knew that I wanted to create this game, but I didn't realize how many unique instruments were actually out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have studied.
Yeah.
Right? So did Tesla or Edison invent this or?
I didn't go into the history of every single
Did Tesla invent it and Edison stole it?
But I, yeah.
Light bulb.
Where are we exactly in the ownership of this process? The short version of the description is a singing Tesla coil that uses electrical arcs to produce musical notes, creating a unique sound and visual spectacle.
I forgot you said it was a Tesla coil.
It doesn't say the history. Yeah, I was trying to give you guys a couple of hints around there, but some of these names are very unique and I didn't even know what they were called. Like the Kalimba. I've played a Kalimba before.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't know what it was called. It was at somebody's house and I was like, oh, this is cool.
Don't call it a comeback.
So this next one looks kind of like a sitar. That is a part of its genome, if that's the right terminology. So
viola.
It comes from that space, but it had also, as its predecessors, has a very unique name. It has a very unique sound, and this is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I know that sound.
Takes me back to my days I was in...
There's a great movie called 13 Hours.
Yeah.
That has a lot of music like this in it.
Yep. So the sitar is probably the most recognizable name for an instrument that looks and sounds similar to this.
So is this like a bowed sitar?
Yep. So that's what it looks and sounds like.
A swantar.
It's a peacock. Very close.
That's a trance machine.
Any guesses? This one has the shortest name out of all of them.
A trance.
Starts with a T.
Tar.
So close. Did you see it?
Is it tongue?
No.
Tar. No.
Taus.
Taus.
Taus. T-A-U-S. It's a rare Indian instrument in the shape of a peacock. Anyway, combines aspects of a sitar and a sarangi.
Okay.
This is another instrument.
Is that the Star Trek character?
I think so.
It's Ferengi for everybody who doesn't know.
Yeah. Star Trek.
I said Star Trek, not Star Wars.
Got him.
Get him, nerds.
Got him.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
All right. Three more. And then I'll surprise you guys. There is one extra credit.
Ooh, I love surprises.
Right now, Bacon's killing it, Tim. Where are you at, bro?
I did not study for this exam.
All right. Here we go.
Which makes you think I studied, fool.
This next one looks like a horror movie of a violin. All right.
Oh my.
It looks like
somebody attached something to a violin.
It looks like a violin, an accordion, and
cordolin.
And a guitar had a baby.
A viol accordion. Violin.
All right. This one, honestly, out of all the instruments, might be the second most complicated one to play, but I think sounds the coolest. It's almost Celtic, but it's actually a Swedish instrument.
It's almost got like a trumpet type.
Yeah.
Keys on the bottom.
Yeah, there you go.
I would play such an Irish jig with that.
Right. Kind of makes me think like Scottish Irish, like
yeah,
like I'm on the set of Braveheart or something, yeah. You know?
I got to Kelvin English.
But they'll never take our
for freedom.
It'll be great.
It'll be great. Why? Because I love you.
That's a really cool instrument. I really like the way this sounds.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Any guesses?
Velucevin.
That's a really great name. I like that. But no.
Okay.
Mine is Cordelin.
Okay. So it's a traditional Swedish string instrument that is not played.
Oh, it's Swedish? I'm sorry. IKEA. Vernschnanflak.
IKEA harpa. IKEA hot dog meatballa. It's a string instrument that's played with a bow, but also has keys that are pressed to change the pitch of the strings.
Mm.
The name is nickel harpa.
Nickelback. That was close.
I know. I thought about giving you the Nickelback hit.
I like the pants around your feet. I like the way you play the strings.
All right. This one you guys should be closest to.
Okay.
So I'm bringing it back down.
It's a drum.
All right. There we go. Tim's got it.
Oh.
It's a drum,
isn't it?
It's a pickle drum.
It is a drum. I'll give you a hint. It's kind of an Irish Celtic type of drum.
Oh, sorry. It's a drum.
It's a drum.
It's a drum.
It's a churdy.
It's a hand drum, isn't it?
Yep. And this is what it sounds like.
I was right.
I don't know. Is it a hand drum?
That's three.
Hold on. He hasn't said yes. Is it a hand drum?
He said yes.
It's not called a hand drum.
Oh, well.
It actually has a very unique name. And the name in the middle of the word, the middle letter is silent. I know if you know what it is or thought you knew what it was, that might help. But if you have no idea, it's not helpful.
It's a McElroy drum.
But you've undoubtedly seen it before.
It's almost like he's playing a drum with spoons.
Is he making that clack sound with the drum?
Yeah, no. On the rim. There might be a delay just because of the Bluetooth.
See. Yeah. I got nothing. It's a cool drum, though. It looks like it's hard to play.
It's a Guinness drum.
It's called a boron.
A boron.
So it's spelled B-O-D-H-R-A-N, but it's the D is silent.
Yeah, always is.
Tim be coming in the middle of the night, silent like a ninja.
Playing that tongue drum.
It's a traditional Irish hand drum made of a wooden body and a goatskin head, played with a stick and sometimes with the hand on the skin. Bacon, you know the hand on the skin.
I know,
right?
About the hand on the skin, yeah. It's a drummer thing.
Tim, you better swallow that. Don't spit it.
The tongue drum.
I'm glad you pushed away the microphone before you almost spit it. I know.
Hey, safety first.
Yeah.
All right. The last one. Oh, the last
man.
One.
I'm doing so well in this.
Probably. Is that, God, how do you still have a job? All right. So here's the last instrument. And don't get it twisted.
Okay.
Don't get it twisted.
Do I literally have to twist it to make it work?
It is not halal.
That is a big dick.
Jesus, Bacon.
Come on.
That's the way it looks from here.
Bacon, we run a PG podcast over here. It's podcast PG. I know it does.
Bacon, control yourself.
I can. It's a big wiener.
No, I cannot.
My wife, she alive.
Is that a guitar? I can't tell like what he's so strumming.
The video that I'm going to show you guys, the way in which he holds it, it's actually... this is not it. Hold on.
That's a harmonica.
Yeah.
I get a point.
So the way in which he holds it actually rests on like a stool or on the floor.
It rests on the stool.
Listen to this instrument, though. I wish I was that big. Jesus Christ. This is what I get for trying to educate our listeners and you.
It's a harp, right?
Okay.
It's a wooden harp.
Tim's like, I know Bud Light and Luke Combs, and that's about it.
You know, I know more than that.
Educate me.
You're hitting us with this rando stuff.
Yeah, bro.
I have no idea.
No clue. You've never.
No.
Not once.
No.
Ever. Wanted to. Bacon's looking it up.
I'm so glad I'm out of your algorithm.
I'm trying to think. I had an idea and it wasn't what I thought. So
but isn't, again, another instrument you could listen to somebody play singularly? Like, there's no band, right? Just listen to like some savant just piece together this like cool random shit. Now, this to me, without the visual, makes me think almost like Asian, mm-hmm. like, you know, Far Eastern. It's actually a West African stringed instrument and often has 21 strings. The instrument is called kora.
Kora.
Spelled just like the character in the TV show.
Aww, interesting.
Nice. They also call it a harp lute, very much like...
like a harp and a flute.
Well, no, but like a lute, like a like an old school fiddle, like if you think of The Witcher or whatever, like the lute, or, you know, like Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
They play the lute.
Big turkey leg.
So. Oh, I could go for one right now.
All right. Yeah. Last one.
Okay.
This is it. This is extra credit. Bacon's killing it. This one counts for 5 points.
He's amazing. Shit.
So Bacon's got 2.5. This one counts for 5 points.
Well, kill it right? Even more, Bacon.
Get ready for 7.
You guys ready?
Make it.
You guys want to hear what it sounds like? Tim, this is your chance for redemption, bro. You ready?
I have no idea.
Is Glockin' the...
I'm not even going to show you the video.
Why? Because it says it on there?
No, because they're streaking.
I got nothing then. I could have sworn that was the Glockin' skill.
Oh, my God. Come on. Nothing?
No.
It's a percussion instrument consisting of a piece of wire connecting to a wooden ball connecting a wooden ball to a hollow box of wood. And when you put the two together, creates that rattling noise.
Yeah. I've heard the sound many times.
Oh my God. Tim, come on. I'm trying to help you.
I've been living my life as a lie, thinking that was a glockenspiel this whole time.
Brattle.
So think about
you said rattle.
I said brattle.
I'm gonna give you some additional context clues.
Okay.
Think about what sound waves do, or think about what the instrument itself does. What
vibrate.
Does it do?
Vibraphone.
What do you do to
vibrato
to make the instrument
vibra
smack. Vibra slap.
Vibra.
Yeah, vibra slap.
Bacon got it. It's a vibra slap. Good job.
Thank you, sir.
Dang,
I'm good with the context.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Good job, Bacon.
Wow, that was fun for me. I hope it was fun for you. No,
it was great. I loved it. It was very much.
Yeah, right. It was a great one. And that is also sponsored by Old Glory.
Yeah, Old Glory.
That's right.
Discount code podcastenvy. OldGlory.com. You know, I had a thought.
Okay.
So a couple of podcasts ago, you brought up this album of Morgan Wallen's I'm the
Problem.
He's
so clean cut. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
That song was kind of like an earworm for me, and I listened to it several times. And I have to tell you, I honestly think the worst thing about that song is Morgan Wallen singing it. Everything else about this song
Taylor Swift?
Is great.
Yeah.
But Morgan Wallen does not fit.
Oh, this is Chapel Run.
He's trying hard.
Really trying. He's a tryhard.
He is. He is. Needs that vibraphone.
Like, come on. Come on. Can you imagine somebody, like a black artist, R&B artist, singing this song? Can you imagine Brian like singing this song? I bet it would sound great.
Brian McKnight?
Yeah. Brian Johnson.
Oh. Azure Vox?
Yeah. Azure Vox.
Okay, yeah.
Before... Morgan even started singing. Start it over from the beginning.
Okay.
So that throws me. This is country,
right?
Pop country. This, I feel like I'm listening to a combination.
And then you start singing, and you're like, ah.
I feel like it's a combination of something that. Yeah, I know. He looked like. Like one of the mice from Cinderella.
Oh my God, Bacon, it's so funny. I'm just saying, like, this song is really good. It just, Morgan Wallen ruins this song.
Oh, Bacon turns into Ratatouille as soon as he starts singing.
I mean, it's on his album. I don't know if it's his song or not.
He's like, oh, this food is moldy.
I just want to be somebody who wanted a hole in my heart.
Oh.
The lyrics are good.
It's just Morgan Wallen sounds like shit.
I just love the middle part where they're harmonizing the guitars.
All right, so person with the computer. Look up who wrote the song, Bacon.
There are 11 songwriters credited to this song.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Is Morgan Wallen one of them?
He is. I'm just saying, I wouldn't shit on Morgan Wallen. Like, I don't think it's
I think you did before you said
the song was good and then he started singing.
Yeah, that's fair. That is a fair assessment of what I said.
Good night.
But I'm saying, like, I'm not saying Morgan Wallen's a shitty musician or shouldn't be famous.
So we're breaking down one very specific
song. That song is a great song for somebody else.
You like the lyrics. Right. I get what you're trying to say.
So this is my really super naive opinion about music.
Okay.
I feel like hit songs are lightning in a bottle. And the more people you add to a song, the less lightning it is and the more bottle it is. You know what I'm saying?
But you and I could have a separate podcast breaking all this shit down.
I think there's more that goes into each song than people realize. I think there's more writers, composers, producers, et cetera, that goes into each song than people realize. People want to believe that it's one person that came up with
this hit song, the underdog.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, people like the, oh my God, you wrote that song, this, that, the other. But, but really, it's one thing to, you know, put the lyrics together. It's another thing to put the different singers together to make that. It's another to put the composition of the guitar and the organ and whatever else, the drums that goes along with it. I mean, it's a whole different.
Well, think about it this way. It is a machine. Wherever they recorded that song, they've done it a million times over.
True.
And, you know, even though you're unhappy with the person that they chose to sing the song, that is a part of the machine. That is a part of the business. That is, you know, what they do. I mean, production value, if you were to just strip the vocals out, it sounds great. The fact that you disagree that they gave it to Morgan Wallen, you know, I would be inclined to side with you just because this doesn't sound like country to me at all.
Yeah. I think it sounds more pop than country. Yeah, it's definitely more pop than country. That might be the reason I feel that way.
It sounds like we could have given this song to Shelley Starr.
Yeah. And a female vocalist would be awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
And she could have done something very fun.
I'm just saying we should cover this song.
With this. Okay. All that to say, Morgan Wallen, we're coming for you.
So Rolling Stone just put out the top 250 songs of this century so far.
Okay.
Are you curious about any of the songs?
I would love to hear.
How far are we going?
How many Taylor Swift songs are on there?
I don't know for sure, but I know there's a Taylor Swift song in the top 10.
Okay.
And I was just going to do top 10s and a couple of honorable mentions.
Okay.
So honorable mentions, Kings of Leon, Use Somebody was 180.
Wow.
Okay. Jason Isbell, Cover Me Up, 148.
Wow.
Gorillaz, Clint Eastwood, 131.
Wow.
Eminem.
Dude, you're blowing my mind right now.
Eminem, Lose Yourself, number 39.
39?
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait, hold on. What is this based off of again?
So this is a quote from Rolling Stone. They say the spirit behind our 21st century 250 greatest songs so far, like our list of the century's greatest album, it's a wide-ranging mix of different styles, different beats, different voices. Some of these songs are universally beloved hits. Others are influential cult classics, but this list sets out to capture the full chaotic glory of the 21st century, one song at a time. So number 10.
We'll do a lot!
Do we get a hint?
I've heard this song.
It's Frank Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking About You.
Yep.
That was a terrible spot to start the song off with, but that's where it landed.
Okay. No, that's fine. I recognized it. So this is number
10.
10. All right.
Yeah, we're just going to do the top 10 because I don't want to do 250 songs.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
And that would be such a difficult thing for me to be like, I don't agree with that They call that song number 250?
Okay. 10 instruments. Number I get nine. It. Yeah. Yep. Let's do it.
Number nine.
Oh, Britney Spears.
Toxic.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Good for her. Now, her being separated from her, what was it called? There was a term.
Conservatorship.
Conservatorship. Does she still get royalties?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good.
All right. Brian might know this.
Okay.
I mean, I knew the other one too. Yeah. This is Sneaker Pimps. Oh, this is Radiohead.
Yes, it is.
It sounds like a Sneaker Pimp song, which is crazy.
It's called Idiotech.
Yeah. Yep.
I wouldn't have put this in my top 10.
I wouldn't have put this in any.
This is insane.
See, this is why Radiohead drives me crazy, because that's noise to me, but they also have High and Dry and Daily Mail. I don't know, man. I just don't know.
So part of the reason why I love Radiohead, not that I obsess over, is that they created a few songs that got them a certain amount of recognition. And then they were like, hey, guess what? We now have an audience. Hmm. What if we just like blow it the fuck up?
There you go.
And just do something really fucking cool with this idea.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
It's another
six
theory, sub theory. I know his name. Starts with a K.
Kendrick Lamar. That was Kendrick Lamar.
I was like, why can't I put this together?
Song's called
You were
All
close
right.
with Kendrill. That was cool.
Kendrill is almost Kendrick.
Sorry.
Almost.
He did our Super Bowl last year.
That's right.
Kendrick Lamar with All Rights. Misspelled, but it's all right.
Okay.
This five? Is another number five. Billy's fans love this song.
This is a remake.
This is the original.
Oh, it is.
Can't you see me? Oh. How is this in the top 10?
I know, that's a good question, right? This is number six?
Five.
Five?
Can't keep dancing on my own.
That was a shame. Phillies. Yeah, it's a shame Red October's
over. Yeah, that was a Phillies thing.
Who was right. it?
Yeah.
Next.
No, no, hold on. Who's the artist?
Robin is the artist.
That was Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wrote that song? Yeah. In what year?
She didn't write it with
that was,
man.
That was, I'll double check, but that was.
What?
2010.
Okay.
Number four. No, this is number five. Number five. All Too Well. This is the 10-minute version. Taylor Swift. And your mother's telling stories when she was good. Just kidding. Next one.
Okay.
I've never heard that song before. And that made four. Oh, I know this one.
Yeah.
Do you think this is top five out of all the songs in the last 25
years? I mean, it's
years?
Probably the top
it's
five
everywhere.
Of the most covered songs.
Yeah. Ready? Can't number wait. Three. Yes.
That's number three. This gets you going, huh? Morgan Wallen, fuck that guy.
Not fuck that guy, just he shouldn't have sang that song.
He just wants to love somebody.
I'm just trying to agitate you.
You, me or Tim?
You.
Oh, well, that's
Tim doesn't
working.
Care. He's Switzerland right now.
Number
he's like,
three.
He's like, I know Gundry, I'm good.
Number three.
Oh, I know this one. Florence.
I'm straight.
Earlier.
I mean, I know the song.
This is one of my like top 10 songs, I think.
Really?
This is Maps by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah.
Oh, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Yeah. What about the Ting Tings?
I don't have any That's My Name.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that.
Right? Yeah. Oh, man.
I thought it's not my name. I don't know.
Are you ready for the number one song so far
Please tell me it's Peter Gabriel. All right. Hit
me. I mean,
quiet.
This song was
hushy mouth,
ginormous.
Quiet, when it came out. Voila, spit it out in your face.
That was weird.
Why? People you know, me and Tim Lamin, since 20 years ago, dude, Tim Lamin Magoo. You wanna battle me, then let me know. She said it though, right?
She did.
Radio edit.
All right, so I think that was episode 223.
I said, Brian, can you please?
You know what, Tim? Can you please
streak us home?
Podcast Envy is a production of Bacon Wave Productions in cooperation with Revelry Media Productions. Follow us on Instagram at PodcastRNV. Follow us on TikTok at Podcast.Envy. Join our Patreon at Patreon.com/PodcastEnvy. Follow, like, and subscribe to stay up to date on our latest episodes. Send us your feedback and more at PodcastEnvy.com. A Bacon Wave podcast production.